Chapter 5. Mom! Alice came running down the stairs to report the news about Lardo and found her mother standing in the hallway with a woman she didn't recognize. You're not going to believe this, Alice began breathlessly, but her mother put up a hand to stop her. Just a minute, she said. Can't you see that I'm busy?
But Mom, Lardo's...
Whatever it is, it'll have to wait, Alice's mother told her. Then she turned back to the woman and said, I'm sorry. What did you say your name was again?
Sylvia DeSoto. I'm a reporter with Look magazine. I was wondering if you might be willing to let me interview you for an article I'm writing about your sister.
Alice's mother sighed. Honestly, she said, haven't you people written enough about Polly? What else could there be left to say? Sylvia DeSoto had on a flower dress and high heels. Her yellow hair was piled up on her head like a custard on a cone. She had a beauty mark on the right-hand corner of her upper lip, and she wore thick, horn-rimmed glasses that made her eyes look unnaturally large. Alice couldn't help but thinking she looked like a goldfish peering out from inside a fishbowl.
I'm particularly interested in the pie crust recipe, Miss DeSoto said, pulling out her notebook and flipping it open. I understand she left it to her cat, but I was wondering if you could explain to me exactly how she did that.
Mom, Alice interrupted again. There's something I really need to...
Not now, Alice, scolded her mother.
Miss DeSoto licked the tip of her pencil and looked at Alice's mother expectantly.
You were saying, she pressed, about the recipe.
I have absolutely no idea why or how my sister did what she did with her recipe. For all I know, she whispered it in the cat's ears or tattooed it on his belly. And frankly, Miss DeSoto, I don't care anymore, said Alice's mother. Polly was a selfish woman who did a selfish thing, and you can feel free to quote me on that. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got a pie to attend to.
Sylvia DeSoto raised an eyebrow. A pie?
My first, said Alice's mother. It's a chocolate cream, my husband's favorite. Come back in September after I've won my blueberry, and I'll be happy to let you interview me about it.
Miss DeSoto looked shocked.
Your blueberry, she asked.
Well, someone's got to win it, said Alice's mother. Why shouldn't it be me?
Forgive me, Mrs. Anderson, but the blueberry is a rather lofty goal for an inexperienced baker such as yourself, don't you think?
There are some who've waited years to be recognized. Alice saw the color rise in her mother's cheeks.
I may be inexperienced, Miss DeSoto, but I watched my sister make hundreds of pies, and I don't see what all the fuss is about. You've heard the expression, easy as pie.
Why do you suppose people say it?
The shocked expression on Sylvia DeSoto's face dissolved into a smile.
This wouldn't be your way of trying to tell me that you've got a little secret of your own, would it, Mrs. Anderson? She asked.
Whatever do you mean? Asked Alice's mother.
You said you watched your sister make hundreds of pies. Perhaps you know her recipe by heart.
You're barking up the wrong tree, said Alice's mother. As I've told you, I don't know anything about my sister's pie crust recipe. According to my daughter, Polly never wrote it down.
Perhaps you'd like to interview the cat.
I believe you'll find him upstairs coughing up hairballs under Alice's bed.
No, she won't, said Alice, unable to hold her tongue any longer. Lardo ran away last night.
That's what I've been trying to tell you, Mom. He's gone.
Alice's mother sighed again.
My daughter has a flair for the dramatic, she explained to the reporter. I'm sure the cat is just hiding somewhere. Now, Miss DeSoto, I don't mean to be rude, but... She stopped, giving me for a stare. But I just got the strangest feeling that we've met somewhere...
Let me back up.
I'm sure the cat is just hiding somewhere. Now, Miss DeSoto, I don't mean to be rude, but she stopped speaking
mid-sentence and cocked her head to the side. "Forgive me for staring, but I just got the strangest feeling that we met somewhere before. Your name doesn't ring a bell, but there's something very familiar to me about your face." "Is there?" Miss DeSoto said, patting her hair nervously. "You must be mixing me up with someone else. I'm quite certain we've never met. In fact, I'm positive. Now, don't let me take up even one more second of your valuable time. Best of luck finding your kitty, little girl. And best of luck winning that blueberry, Mrs. Anderson. Trust me, you're going to need it." And just like that, she was out the door, leaving a wisp of flowery perfume behind her. "What do you suppose she meant by that?" Alice's mother asked. "You're going to need it. That's rather rude, don't you think?" "Shouldn't we go look for him?" Alice asked. "Look for who?" her mother asked absently. "Lardo, Mom. Look around the house. I'm sure he's just hiding somewhere." "I did look. He's not here. Maybe we should put up some signs around the neighborhood just in case somebody finds him." "Do you know what? You do what you want," Alice's mother told her. "I have a pie to make." It was obvious to Alice that her mother wasn't the least bit concerned about Lardo having run away, but her Aunt Polly had trusted Alice to take care of him, and she couldn't let him just wander around out in the world all by himself. What if he got sick? What if he starved to death or got hit by a car? Alice would never forgive herself. "If I was Lardo, where would I go?" she asked herself. The answer was so obvious. She felt silly for even having taken the time to ask the question. 2 seconds later, she was on her bike, pedaling off in the direction of the pie shop. Alice hadn't been back to pie since her Aunt Polly had passed. Seeing the place without her aunt in it was not going to be easy. But pie had been Lardo's home, too. So it seemed like the most logical place to start looking for him. The route she took happened to lead her past the Needleman's house, where Alice caught sight of Nora jumping rope in the driveway by herself. She was pretty sure that Nora had seen her too, but neither of the girls waved. 5 minutes later, Alice arrived at the pie shop, and to her surprise, she found the door standing wide open. "Hello?" she called. "Is anybody here?" Alice thought maybe she would find Reverend Flowers inside since the pie shop belonged to him now, but when she stepped through the door, she gasped. The shop was a total wreck. Broken dishes and pans were strewn all across the floor. The pie safes tipped over, their lovely hammered tin doors torn from the hinges. Everything had been knocked off the shelves, and when Alice looked in the pantry, it was even worse. Giant sacks of flour and sugar had been slashed open, and every basket and barrel overturned and dumped out. A drop of sweat trickled down the back of her neck as Alice climbed the stairs up to Polly's apartment. "Kitty, kitty, kitty," she called nervously. The door of the apartment was ajar, so Alice gently pushed it open with the toe of her shoe. It was almost noon, and the sun streamed through the windows, filling the place with a light so bright Alice had to shield her eyes with her hand in order to be able to see. Blinking and squinting, she stepped into the apartment and nearly had a heart attack. Standing in the middle of the room was a tall figure in a dark cap, clutching a wooden baseball bat with both hands and winding up to take a swing at her head. "No!" Alice shrieked, falling to her knees, covering her face with both hands. She held her breath and waited for the end to come. When nothing happened, she inched 2 fingers apart and peeked out between them. Charlie Erdling was staring down at her with his mouth hanging open. "Good gravy, Alice," he said, lowering the baseball bat. "You shouldn't creep up on a person like that. Person that way. I almost beamed you." Alice's terror did a fast U-turn and zoomed right past relief to anger. "Are you nuts?" she shouted, jumping to her feet. "You could have killed me, and how dare you wreck Aunt Polly's pie shop after she was so good to you?" "I didn't do it," Charlie insisted. "The place was like this when I got here. See, I was on my way to the ball field to fungo some baseballs
When I noticed the door was open and I stopped to close it, I saw the mess in the pie shop, so I grabbed my bat and snuck upstairs to see if I could catch him in the act. "Catch who in the act?" Alice said. "The burglar," said Charlie. "Whoever did this came looking for something. You can tell by the way he tore the place up." Alice looked around the room. Every cabinet and drawer had been yanked open and gone through. Even the cushions on the couch had been split open and stuffing pulled out. Charlie was right. Whoever had done this was clearly looking for something. But what? Aunt Polly had led a simple life and had very few possessions. The most valuable thing she owned was the pie crust recipe, and by now everybody knew what had happened to that. The only things she cared about were the people and pie and lardo. And then it occurred to Alice, her aunt's blueberry medals were made of gold. That must have been what the burglar was after. She rushed into the bedroom, and sure enough, there was the cardboard box lying empty on the rug. What was strange, though, was that although the box was empty, the medals were still there, scattered haphazardly across the floor. Alice gathered them up and did a quick count. 13, not a single one missing. "I don't get it," she said, looking at the pile of shiny medals, each with its cluster of blueberries embossed on the front. If the burglar wasn't after these, what could he have been looking for?
"Maybe he was looking for a pie," said Charlie. "Your auntie sure did make some good ones. Did you ever taste her key lime? One bite of that pie and you'd swear you'd gone straight up to heaven."
"I sure am going to miss it. Do you have a favorite too?" It seemed that everyone in Ipswich had a pie they were going to miss more than ever, and Alice was no exception.
"Peach," she told Charlie.
Since Aunt Polly wouldn't have thought of using canned fruit, she had only made the pie for a few weeks during the summer, when Pennsylvania peaches were at the height of ripeness. If you bit into one, the juice ran down your arm all the way to your elbow. Just thinking about the way the pie tasted made Alice want to cry.
"So what do you think? Was it pies he was after?" Charlie asked.
Alice shook her head. Who would go looking for a pie under a bed? "Must have been some stranger out of town," said Charlie. "Everyone around here knows that the only thing your auntie kept under her bed besides those medals was lardo, and nobody in the right mind would want to tangle with him." In the excitement of discovering the break-in and almost getting her head bashed with a baseball bat, Alice had forgotten all about looking for lardo. "Have you seen him?" she asked Charlie. "He jumped out the window last night and ran away."
"I never saw Lardo jump," said Charlie. "Mostly he waddles." Lardo was getting on in years, and his big belly tended to slow him down a bit.
"Okay, so maybe he waddled out the window," Alice said. "The point is he's gone, and I'm trying to find him."
"Did you examine the scene of the crime?" asked Charlie.
"What crime?"
"Oh, that's just something they say on Sky King. You ever watch that show?"
"Out of the blue of the western sky comes Sky King," Charlie said, imitating the deep voice of the announcer. Then he stuck his arms straight out of his sides and used his tongue to make a sound like the buzzing of an airplane motor. Sky King happened to be one of Alice's all-time favorite television shows. The main character was a cattle rancher from Arizona who solved crimes on the side. He and his young niece, Penny, flew around chasing bad guys together in a little airplane called Songbird. Alice had actually been considering trying to grow out her hair that summer so that she'd be able to wear it in the same kind of ponytail Penny had. Alice was fine with the way she looked, but she wondered sometimes what it would feel like to be as pretty as a girl like Penny.
"Did you find any clues?" asked Charlie, letting his arms drop back down by his sides, "or did he vanish without a trace?"
Clearly, Alice wasn't the only one with a flair for the dramatic.
"I found a paw print on the windowsill in my room," she reported. "Anything else?" Charlie asked.
Alice thought for a minute. "I heard a noise," she said. "In the middle of the night, I thought maybe I dreamed it."
"What kind of noise?"
Alice closed her eyes and tried to remember what she had heard. "I think there were some thumps, and I'm pretty sure there was a hiss," she said.
"Anything else?" said Charlie. "A clink," said Alice. "There was definitely a clink." Charlie took off his cap and started scratching his head. "A glass kind of clink or a metal kind of clink?" he asked. "Metal, I think." "Interesting. Does Larda wear a collar or a bell around his neck?" "Nope." "Do you have Venetian blinds on your window or a window shade or a metal pull on it?" "Nope." Charlie's eyes got wide. "Maybe it was aliens," he said. "Maybe they landed their tiny little metal spaceship on your window sill, and then they zapped Larda with a shrinking ray gun and took him off to their planet to do scientific experiments on him." "Are you serious?" asked Alice. "Not really. But I did see a UFO once, or at least I think I did." "It might have been a cloud," said Charlie. "What do you think Sky King would do if his cat ran away and the only clues he had to go on were some thumps, a hiss, and a clink?" Alice asked Charlie. "I don't think Sky King has a cat," he said. "That's not the point," Alice told him. "What I mean is, if Sky King was here right now, what do you think he would do?" "I think he'd offer to come over to your house and try to help you figure out what made those sounds," said Charlie. Then he grinned and patted his stomach. "I also think he might wonder if you were going to offer him something for lunch if he got there." "Do you like cream cheese olive sandwiches?" Alice asked. Charlie wrinkled his nose. "Got anything else? Peanut butter and jelly? Now you're talking." Alice had never invited a boy over to her house for lunch before, but if Charlie Erdling was willing to help her look for Lardo, the least she could do was give him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. "Let's go," she said, heading for the stairs. Charlie hesitated. "Shouldn't we call the police first?" he asked. "You know, to report the break-in?" There was no phone in the pie shop anymore. Polly had decided to have it disconnected. "Anyone who wants to talk to me is welcome to stop by the shop for a slice of pie and some chit-chat," she always said. "We can call the police from my house," Alice said. Charlie hesitated again. "Maybe we should bring your auntie's medals with us," he suggested, "in case the burglar changes his mind and decides to come back for them. They must be pretty valuable, being gold and all." He had a point, so Alice gathered up the medals and put them back in the cardboard box and carried it downstairs. They locked the door from the inside and pulled it closed. Then Charlie retrieved his bike from behind the pie shop, and the two of them headed off together towards Alice's house. As it turned out, there was no need to call the police, but as Alice and Charlie had rode past the parsonage, they saw Chief Decker sitting on the sun porch with Reverend Flowers, drinking iced tea and shooting the breeze. Before the kids could even finish telling what had happened at the pie shop, the chief had jumped into his cruiser and raced off with the siren wailing. Alice took the same route home, which meant she and Charlie had to ride past the Needleman's house. "Hey, look," said Charlie, pointing. "There's Nora." Nora had put away her jump rope and was lying on a blanket in the front yard, sunbathing in her bathing suit. "So what?" said Alice. "So nothing," Charlie responded. Had Alice been paying attention, she would have seen that the tips of Charlie Erdling's ears had turned bright pink. But she was too busy thinking about Lardo to notice Charlie's ears or the big green Chevrolet that was parked across the street from the Anderson's house when Charlie and Alice arrived. Blueberry pie, huckleberry pie. 4 cups of fresh huckleberries, blueberries will do in a pinch. 3 tablespoons of quick cooking tapioca, 2/3 cup sugar, 1/4 cup of apple juice, 2 tablespoons lemon juice, 2 tablespoons sweet butter. Rinse berries and let drain. Add lemon juice. Mix tapioca, apple juice, and sugar together. Add sugar mixture to berries. Toss with 2 forks and let stand for 15 minutes. Pour as many berries as will fit into the unbaked pricked pie shell. Dot with butter and cover with top crust, making sure the crust to cut vents in top. Place a cookie sheet or a piece of tin foil under the pie. Nothing harder to clean off an oven than burnt huckleberry pie. Doesn't smell great either.
Bake at 450 for 10 minutes, then reduce to 350 and bake another 40 to 45 minutes more. Reminder, Elsie and Herb Decker both love this. Wedding anniversary, June 15th.